This is IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So what an honor it is to be here speaking about the dialogues of His Eminence, the 6th of IRIB Imam, and Imam Jafar al-Imam. So we are talking about this interesting dialogue that His Eminence, the 6th of IRIB Imam, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam, has with one of his companions. Now, overall, we find that in this conversation that occurs, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he encourages learning, and he says that learning is one of the most successful tools in helping an individual grow their thoughts. And so, at one time, you know, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he saw a youth whose cloth was affected by the sign of a pen, and he was hiding this part of his cloth that, you know, had ink on it, and, you know, he felt like he was ashamed or embarrassed for this, you know, flawed ink that was upon his clothes. And so Imam Sadiq alayhi salam turns to him and says, "Do not feel disturbed about the effects of the pen and the ink, as they are perfumes for the men and jewels for authors." And then Imam alayhi salam also looked at the youth, and he said to him that the sign of the pen and the ink on one's clothing is the mark of chivalry. So very interesting, you know, these two are very beautiful, very powerful statements that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has regarding scholarship and, you know, writing and, I guess, researching and learning and growing our thoughts and, you know, gaining knowledge and spreading knowledge. As many of you know, in that era, people, you know, they didn't really read and write to the extent that people read and write in the present day. You know, even though, yes, scholarship was something that, you know, was growing and was spreading, and of course it was the divinely appointed imams that were helping to grow and spread the need and the yearning for knowledge, because before them, knowledge, you know, wasn't really such a big deal. We're dealing with, you know, Bedouins and nomads and, you know, people that are desert dwellers. What do they have to do with knowledge and science and research and academia and these kind of things? But the imams, they started to, you know, promote these things, and it started with the Holy Prophet, and this yearning for knowledge, this yearning for research and academia and things like this. So by the time we get to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, yes, more people are in this field, but still, it's not, you know, something that the common people would really want to get into. So here, it's very beautiful that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is encouraging knowledge, learning, and the search for knowledge and the quest for knowledge. This is Dialogue of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. IRIB English Radio, for our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
Present or absent? And the barber responded, "Present." Subsequently, Abu Hanifa went to the house of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, to meet him and requested permission. The Imam did not grant it. Abu Hanifa mentioned, "I waited for a while until some people from Kufa came and sought permission to meet him. And upon their request, he allowed them, and I entered the house with them. When I stood in his presence, I said, 'It is appropriate for you to send a representative to Kufa and advise the people there not to speak ill of the companions of Muhammad. Peace be upon him.' More than 10,000 people in the city are speaking ill of the Prophet's companions." The Imam replied, "The people do not accept me." Abu Hanifa questioned, "How can they not accept your words when you are the descendant of the Prophet of Allah?" The Imam responded, "You yourself are one of those who do not listen to me. You entered the house without my permission. You did not sit down without me asking you. And you did not start speech without permission. I have heard that you issue fatwas based on analogy." Abu Hanifa confirmed, "Yes." The Imam then expressed his concern, saying, "Woe to you, the first one who expressed an opinion based on this was Iblis. When Allah commanded him to prostrate and rally, he refused, saying, 'I will not prostrate because you created me from fire and him from clay, and fire is worthier than clay.'" To invalidate analogy, the Imam provided examples in Islamic laws that contradict this principle and said, "In your opinion, is killing an innocent person greater than committing adultery?" Abu Hanifa replied, "Killing an innocent person." The Imam, peace be upon him, pointed out, "So, acting on analogy is correct, then why is it enough to have two witnesses to show the murder, but four witnesses are required to prove adultery?" Does Islamic law agree with analogy? Abu Hanifa replied, "No." In this way, Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace be upon him, proved Abu Hanifa's analogy wrong. Indeed, during his era, no scholar of religion was more knowledgeable than Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace be upon him, who imparted great knowledge to the Ummah, which taught the true Islam. Some people think that the Jafari school of thought is a sect that emerged from other sects. However, the reality is that the Jafari school of thought is the highest, the most noble, and adheres to the true Islam among all sects, as it follows the teachings of Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace be upon him.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
The holy prophet of Islam is the
Eminence is a living principle in the history of Islam, and she is a teacher. This is the Ulama speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of iRive English Radio. We're welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
Our belief in angels is necessary. The Quran said, each one believed in Allah and his angels. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 285. Our faith must be in God, and just we as believe in God, we must also believe in his angels. We do not see them, but the creator of existence said there are beings named angels. They are the administrators of creation and those who arrange each matter. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Surah 79, Ayah 5. This position is in God's hand. He arranges matter. The Holy Quran, Surah 10, Ayah 31. But God has delegated or entrusted this management to the angels, and the angels do not argue. They do not disobey Allah in what He commands them, but do what they are commanded. This is in the Holy Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6. Whatever command they received in the past, they carried out, and whatever God commands them in the future, they will also carry out.
و فرشته ها از مقام خدا خوف دارن یا خافون عرب به هم من فوقه
Angels fear their Lord's majesty. They fear their Lord above them, and they do what they are commanded. Holy Quran, Surah 16, Ayah 5. This means their obedience is conscious and based on piety. They perform any task entrusted to them. The Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his family, said, the creation of angels is from light. Indeed, Allah the Mighty, the Majestic, created the angels from light. Angels are from light, just as Satan is from fire, and man is from clay. Angels do not eat, drink, or engage in sexual intercourse. Indeed, angels do not eat, drink, or marry. This is mentioned in a beautiful hadith. Dear listeners of iRive English Radio, for listening through the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati.
To find out more about this program and our other programs, please log on to our website, iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Good morning, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Audio Shelf. Today I'm going to read to you parts of the book Unwithering Flames about Shahid Abbas Babai. Please stay tuned. Abbas Babai, born December 5, 1950, assigned to pilot training in the U.S., 1969 to 1972, married to Maliha Hikmat, August 26, 1975, martyred on August 6, 1987, Sardash. Like truth and death were two sides of the same coin, and the man had found truth. On the night of the departure, over 100 people had gathered in our small house to say their goodbye. A bus asked me to go to our old house with him, which wasn't far from our new house, formerly the base of power station. We went there to exchange our last words. There were some things that he wanted me to do while I was away. Tears had covered his entire face. I didn't want my departure, the moment of our separation, to be bitter. Take care of yourself if I'm not here when you return, he said. I had heard this before. I couldn't take it anymore. How could I bear your absence? How could you not be here? My love for God is the foundation of my life, but you have become a beautiful and important part of it. I yearn to be with you, and I believe that together we can build a relationship that honors both my devotion to God and the love we share. I hope that my love for you will never ever conflict with the love for God. Abba said this with tears still resting on his face. I went quiet. What could I say? I was busy mulling over my trip, and he, Madiha, one who has found his divine love, must leave all else behind, he said. He continued, let me watch you as you walk. Huh? What do you mean? I asked, confused. I want to see how you look in your ihram. I walked around and he looked at me like he was looking at me for the first time, like the night when he and his family came to ask for my hand in marriage. That's enough. People are waiting, I said. No, let's stay a bit longer, Abbas replied. Just when we were about to leave the house, he went and brought me one of my shirts. A long-sleeved violet shirt with a floral pattern made from a light fabric that my mother had bought from Mecca. Wear this there, he said, while handing me the shirt. When we got home, everybody jokingly asked us why these conversations of ours took so long. The buses were waiting for us at the mosque. All of the other travelers were friends or colleagues of Abbas, along with their wives. While in the front yard of the mosque, Abbas pulled me aside, knowing how much I loved peaches. He had bought some just for me. It felt like the early days of our engagement all over again. We found a quiet corner and savored the peaches together. When the kids approached us, he gently told them, go to your grandmother. I want to be alone with your mother. The bus was waiting for me. All the other passengers had already boarded. Finally, it was time for us to part ways. There was a man standing next to the bus, reciting Madahi and Salawat. I'll recite a Salawat for Shahid Baba's health, he suddenly said aloud. My feet couldn't move any longer.
This is Audio Shelf on IRIB English Radio. Our website is iranradio.ir.
I turned and asked Abbas, what is he saying? This too is God's work, he said. My legs couldn't move. I took a step ahead, but my worries were dragging me back. When I boarded the bus, I couldn't make sense of any of the other passengers, even though they were all my acquaintances. As the bus started to move, my eyes were fixated on him, the one who had boarded the bus to send me off, and I started crying. I switched seats with Miss Ardestani so that I could still see him when the bus moved farther. The thought of this being the last time that I would see him made me uneasy. For the last time, I saw him from the window as he looked up and smiled. He had one hand on his chest while he was waving at me with the other. That was the last moment I had of him, forever etched in my mind. After all these years, I still remember that final smile. Now, I've grown used to him being present and me unable to see him. I know he's watching over. He's with us and he protects us. Without his ethereal presence, I would never have been able to endure the difficult life I faced after his martyrdom. Sometimes, I hear him knocking. I can even hear him talk sometimes. Before my daughter was married, she used to see him often. Just before she got married, one of our family friends came and told us that Abbas had been visiting him in his dreams. Abbas had told him that there was a suitor for our daughter, and had even told him the groom's name, all of which came true in the end. I lived with Abbas for a future wife, unbeknownst to me. Although he is no longer with us anymore, he is still my husband. Sometimes I get palpitations, and that's when I feel his presence and even catch his scent around me. Now I know why he is so insistent that I find a job. Every time I ring the bell as principal at the school I work at, I drown myself in the kid's childish clamor. F-5 Pilot Training Camp, Reese Air Base, Lubbock, Texas, USA, 1971. Intelligence Report. Abbas Babai, the Iranian student, is described as abnormal in his file. He performs daily prayers. At a time when everyone bragged about their debauchery and partying all the time, he stayed away from such things. He had even gone to the expense of limiting his interaction with his drunken roommate by splitting the room with a cord. He didn't even drink Pepsi. He said, the company supports Israel. When the commander of the airbase, Darnell Baxter, returned to his office, he was met by the young man he had summoned. The young Iranian's face looked familiar. The colonel remembered one night when he was coming back from a night of partying with his wife, when he had seen him running into the courtyard to purge the devil from within himself. And now the young man was bowing and prostrating over the newspapers he had laid out on his office's floor. Later, when he finished his prayers, he explained that this was one of the obligations of his religion, since the colonel had not yet arrived, and that specific moment was the time to perform his prayers, he performed his prayers. He spoke English slowly, but fluently. That interested the colonel as he studied the rest of the reports in his file. He looked at the young man. His pictures from back then displayed a young man with a handsome face and stubble. He was wearing a thick leather belt around his jeans and was sitting happily around the formica table with his friends. The colonel approved his file. Abbas was now a pilot. Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us with this episode of Audio Shelf. We hope you enjoyed parts of the book, Unwithering Flames, about Shahid Abbas Babai. Don't forget to log on to our website at iranradio.ir. Till another episode and another story. Goodbye.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio. Good morning to all listeners from around the world. You are tuned into Iran Radio. It's very nice to have you with us. We start this hour's lineup with The Lantern. The program explains moral teachings from an Islamic perspective through telling of fables and stories which are rich in morals. After that, we have Islamic Upbringing. The program aims to answer frequently asked questions about children and adolescents and their upbringing. After that, we have round the table with reporters. Reporters from around the world tell us what is happening in the corner of the world. Listen to fascinating reports from countries, both near and afar. And we round up this hour's program with A to Z of Life. The program presents a some Taiwanian lifestyle in the variety of ways, making use of ayahs of the Holy Quran, as well as inspirational poetry and stories.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the inhabitants. Stories from different parts of the world.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Dear brother and sister, salam. So welcome to a new story. Yes, this is another episode of Lantern, and we have a new story entitled Mature in Intellect. Welcome to Lantern. With the intention of suppressing a group of rebellious enemies existing around Mecca and Medina, the noble prophet, peace be upon him and his family, readied a rapid strike commander until, for the purpose of advancing secretly upon the enemies in the darkness of the night, overcoming them, and appointed a youth from the tribe of Hudan as the commander of this unit. A shallow-minded person remonstrated, saying, "Why have you appointed a youth as our chief? We refuse to obey his orders. You ought to have appointed an elderly person as the chief and commander of the army." The noble prophet said, "O shallow-minded person, although he's a youth, nevertheless, he possesses a strong heart and a sound intellect, whereas the elders that you talk about, although they possess white beards and apparently should be given the leadership, however, their hearts are dark as pitch. I have put this youth to test and found him to be mature in intellect, elderly in age, but lacking in intellect yields no benefit. Strive to the maximum extent possible to be elderly in the intellect and religion, for leadership is determined not by age, but by intelligence, reflection, and a pure, luminous heart." Into the continuation of this program, Lantern, and the important points of this nice story.
We seek refuge from Satan the cursed in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Musabi at Lantern. What we do is to listen to certain religious stories and then try to talk and explore some more points that we can take up with these stories and make use of them in our daily lives. Well, maturity is often imagined as something that arrives with age, as though the passing of years automatically sharpens insight and deepens character. He Yet the reality of life, history and revelation tells us a different story. True maturity is not tied to the number of years that a person lives. It is tied to the clarity of their intellect, the depth of their understanding, and the sincerity of their hearts. Age does not protect anyone from immaturity. It only exposes it. The Holy Book of Quran emphasizes this principle. It states, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما يتذكر أولي الألباب. Only those who possess intellect will take heed. Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 19. So God does not say only the elders, nor says only those of many years, but says those who possess intellect. It is an open invitation for every person at every stage of life to grow through awareness. One of the most important signs of maturity is the ability to control one's impulses. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Aslu al-aql kadmu al-ghayb." The root of intellect is suppressing anger. Notice how he ties intellect directly to self-control. A person might be old in years but react with the impulsiveness of a child. Another may be at young age but capable of patience and calm. This difference reveals the depth of their intellect. Humility is another hallmark of maturity. The mature person knows that nobody possesses perfect understanding and that growth requires admitting ignorance. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam very beautifully says, Al-alimu man arafa qadra nafsi. The truly knowledgeable person is the one who knows the limits of their own self. Knowing one's limits is not weakness, it is the beginning of genuine growth. Okay, let's go for a short recess and we'll be back in no time. Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life. When we speak of maturity, we speak of the ability to see beyond the moment, with wisdom instead of impulse, to choose clarity over confusion, and to live with purpose. A mature person seeks truth even when it challenges their confusion. They listen more than they speak. They think before they respond, and they see the dignity of others as clearly as their own. This is why the Imams alayhi salam repeatedly emphasize that the greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a human being is intellect. It is through intellect that we recognize guidance, distinguish right from wrong, and understand the consequences of our choices. Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam said, Al-aqlu ma'ubida bihi al-Rahman wa tusiba bihi al-Jadar. Intellect is that by which the merciful is worshipped and paradise is attained. Not adulthood, not age, intellect. So the message is clear. Maturity is available to anyone willing to cultivate their mind and heart. It grows in reflection, in humility, in patience, and in sincerity. The years of life give us time to grow, but they do not guarantee growth. Growth comes only from choice. Now, let's remember that a young person with understanding may be more mature than an elder without it. And an elder with a humble, reflective heart may surpass the young person in clarity and wisdom. What matters is not when we were born, but how we chose to think, how we chose to live, and how we chose to grow. Okay, well, dear listeners, it seems that our time for this episode of Lantern has come to its end. I really hope that you have enjoyed listening to us. And until another episode, I bid you farewell. And may Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother and sister, thank you very much for your company. This is the end of this episode of Lantern. Until a new story, be among you.
questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son, he's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know, what should I do?
Could you tell me when we have to start offering in our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlulbayt, his dear father.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. A very warm welcome. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Islamic upbringing, and I am your host, Jusaya. Honored to be here with Brother Muhammad Liaquat Abbas as a guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, ladies. A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
Dear listeners, Brother Muhammad Liaquat Abbas is a research scholar in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom and also possesses a background in the field of psychology, making him the perfect guest for our program. Well, in this program, we discuss the topics and issues that are important for Islamic upbringing and that can benefit both parents as well as the children. So our answers in this program are based on the Noble Book of Quran and also the Ahadith from Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, and we also take help from the narrations of Noble Imams. Well, to begin with, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that anyone who strives to rectify the people, the society, is among the best of the virtues. Yes, we are talking about societal management today, societal participation. So, Brother Liaquat, when talking about our children, how do we encourage them to take part in the society?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's world of busy schedule, in today's world of technology, social media, we see our youths, our kids, not getting much involved in the society or in the Husainiyah or in the masajid, the mosques, and participating in activities over there.
I
don't deny it completely, of course. There are places, alhamdulillah, where we can see a lot of participation as well. But there comes a place where a person should manage everything, like managing the Husainiyah, or managing the Imam Barga example, or managing the mosque, which is very important. So over here we have a lot of ahadith about management itself. Like we have Imam Ali alayhi salam saying, good management prolongs one's term of leadership. So if a person is taking up the task of arranging a majlis, a congregation for the mourning of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, it should be done in the best manner.
Right.
Yeah. So managing how the majlis is going. And another youth, why I'm taking the name of youth is because we have learned from Imam Ali alayhi salam that when he was about 11 years old or 10 years old, he was given the duty to organize and manage the whole of Dawat al-Bashira. That is the congregation, the invitation which was invited by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he gave invitation towards his nearest of kin and invited them to the religion of Islam. So everything like the zibha, that is the sacrifice of the goat, the meal, and the cooking of food, and the arranging of the drinks, water, milk, everything was done by Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali al-Islam.
That's
at age 11, you see. At such a young age, he's managing everything.
The management starts
from the beginning, like from small things. For us, you know, this is a big thing.
Right, yeah. Like, because we will never count on another child. And, like, even if they show kind of interest towards doing things, and we'll be like, no, no, just go away. You won't be able
everything.
To.
You can't do anything.
You can't do it.
Of course, there was profit to guide your mama these days.
Right.
The very fact that you had arranged everything, this is the focus point.
Right. And we have a lot to learn from that. We'll take a short break here to reflect on the same and we'll get back in a while.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of the earth.
Pause here, short discussion, and we'll discuss.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Be like a friendly physician who applies medicine where it is useful."
Anxiety, and if it's not done, then the person gets upset or depressed.